hit me that our preaching team was turning very grey. And so we intentionally are taking some steps to encourage younger men to come and preach. So, Pete, it's great to have you here. Pete was in between Brother Ronnie and Daniel, was leading the youth ministry for about, was it 2 years? Year and a half? 2 years? 2 years. Came to Christ over at youth and has been here with us at English since August last year when you got married. So, brother, I want to pray for Peter and let's enjoy and listen to God's word. Father, thank you for the way you work in all our lives, for the way you rescue us and save us, for the life experience you give us, for the gifts you give us, and for the privilege we have of serving you. And now, Lord, we want to see Jesus. We want to hear what you, Lord Jesus Christ, want to speak into our lives as your word is proclaimed. So I commit Peter to you, and Lord, I commit us to you. We need help. We need the help of your Spirit to hear your word this morning. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
But before we start, let's just pray and devote this time to our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we thank you that you've given us your word that sustains us. The truth that we can go out into the world and share with others so that one day they may have a relationship with you. And God, we thank you for giving me the honor to be up here and share my journey through your word with my brothers and sisters, and that your message will be a blessing to our souls, and ultimately that your Holy Spirit will move us not to just listen, but to do your kingdom work. We commit this time entirely to you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'll be sharing a message from the book of John, chapter 17, verse 14 to 19. And it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. When Pastor Kevin asked me to share a message, I was wondering what passage I should choose from. And I prayed about it, and I thought about it, and I remembered back on the devotions that I've done. And I dwelt on this for a while, but my wife would say I dwelt on it for a little too long. But then one day, Daniel Tao approached me and asked me if I would also be interested in sharing a message at U-Time, which prompted me to ask myself, what was a question that I had when I was at the youth? Something that I struggled to understand, and to this day, I'm still quite unsure about. That's when I realized. I had always wondered, what does the phrase, be in the world, but not of the world, mean? As a young Christian, I was perplexed by this quote, but I never gave it much thought. So I decided to dig deeper and find out for myself, what did this phrase actually mean? Was it accurate? And if not, how could we change it so that it would be more suitable to the word? So today I would like to take you along on this journey of mine through John chapter 17, verse 14 to 19, that this phrase originated from, and the conclusions that I've come to, thoughts that I've had, things that I've learnt, and if I agree with this phrase, or would I change it? But most importantly, what does this passage mean to me? What does this passage mean to us as followers of Jesus Christ in this world? And I hope that my journey through the Word will give you as much joy as it did for me. So in John chapter 17, verse 14 to 19, it takes place between after the Last Supper and before Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus prays to his heavenly Father. He has known all his life that it was all would lead to this. And it leads to what is about to come. So these words were some of Jesus' last prayers. And I wondered to myself, what would I pray for if I knew my life was coming to an end? Jesus' prayer actually shows us quite a lot. And it tells us a lot about what Jesus really cared about and where his heart was. And I think as a follower of Jesus, we should care too. In verse 14, Jesus paints us a picture of the situation of the world. And it sounds a very hostile place to be as a follower of Jesus. In verse 14, it says, I have given them your word, but the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. And I still think it still runs true to this day. When Karen and I first moved into our neighborhood in Moorooka, we joined the Moorooka Grapevine Facebook page, and we saw things that were happening in the suburb and surrounding areas, and it was just useful to know what was happening. Crime was being reported live time, local events, and lost pets. However, now it's just basically turned into a bunch of people complaining about little things. But this time I was checking this group around the same time as the Graham tour in Brisbane. And a lady had posted up an ad for her fellow Maroochians, as they call themselves. And the very first comment was hate. This small example is just a glimpse of what is still happening around the world today. We have Christians in countries that arrest our brothers and sisters for what they believe in, and even in extreme cases, persecuted and killed. You can actually Google the 50 most dangerous places to be as a follower of Jesus right now. The Open Doors organization has actually created a visual aid to help us see where the persecutions are happening. And in 2017, over 600 cases were reported of persecutions against Christians. That number could actually be more due to the fact that most of these persecutions are unreported. So here we are in this world, this society that is hostile against people who follow Jesus, clear in his words. And then Jesus says that the Word and himself are not of this world, for they are not of the world any more than I am of this world, which becomes a recurring theme in this passage, which we'll explore more into later. In verse 15, Jesus intercedes for us to his Father. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So from what I could gather so far when I was reading this, was firstly, we live in a society that hates followers of Jesus. Secondly, Jesus doesn't want us to be taken out of this place, though. Instead, he's actually okay with where we are right now. He wants us here, where we are, and where we will be. And thirdly, we need the protection of God. And by the sounds of it, Jesus knows that a lot of us will be challenged, tempted by sin, and even slip away from him. And he knows how much we need to rely on his Father's protection. And again in verse 16, he mentions the world. But this time he says that his disciples, us, as being not of this world, just as himself is not of it. When I imagine Jesus praying, he was not just praying for his immediate disciples, but he was also praying for his disciples of the 21st century. Us, baby boomers, Gen X, Y, Z, and millennials. But why are we not of this world? In verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth." Jesus asked God to sanctify us, set us apart as holy by the truth. Your word is the truth. In the previous verse, Jesus said, "Don't take his followers out of this world. Don't physically separate us from this world and put us in our own little comfortable Christian communities." As we can see here, he wants us instead to be sanctified, set apart, but set apart spiritually as holy, but right where we are. Sanctification is usually a word that is often mistaken as someone who is pure and who is holy. But I remember reading this book, The Hole in Our Holiness, and the author Kevin DeYoung talks about how being holy is not just being righteous or sexually pure or any of that stuff. In fact, in one part, he talks about the Apostle Paul and how he usually addresses Jesus' followers with something like, "I'm so thankful for you. You guys are awesome. I think about you all the time, and when I do, it makes me praise God." And he describes it not like Paul giving out bumper stickers, showing off how great of a Christian he is and how sanctified he is, because he didn't have to, because others noticed for themselves. And he asked us, is our obedience known to all? I recall in one of my older jobs, I had a manager who I really did not like. She was the really old school type of manager. She pushed me hard and she put a lot of pressure on everyone. And it came to the point where I really didn't feel like going to work anymore. I dreaded every moment of being under her management. And man, I was not relying on my own will to stick in there. I knew that God had put her in my life for a reason. So I was obedient to God, and I just showed her love just how Jesus would want me to. I said to myself, you know what? There's actually nothing that I can do to put up with this person, and I'm going to let God take control. That was when I truly felt God was sanctifying me through this whole process. I knew I couldn't do it on my own strength and acknowledged that I needed the power of God to intervene in my life. He did, and now we have a great relationship. Now, sir, she knows I'm a Christian, and obviously I couldn't work on Sundays because it was a retail job, and she understood that. And every time we catch up, we talk about her life, her kids, her husband, and it's great. And I hope that through my obedience to God, she could see that I was different and that I was able to show God's love to her. But all of this actually wouldn't mean anything if it wasn't for the truth. Jesus also knows how important the truth is. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. Because the word was what sustained Jesus throughout his life and his ministry, he knows it will work for us. This part kind of reminded me of when I was first learning to use the whippersnapper. My dad took me out into the backyard, into the shed, and we pulled it out. And it was a really old one, the one where you had to mix the petrol with the oil and then you put it in. And his instructions were, you have to put it on choke first and then pull a couple of times until you start to hear the engine about to run. And then you put it on start. And then you pull it again and it would start. But I thought to myself, why do you start at choke? Because choke is what you set it on when you want the whippersnapper to stop. And for those of you who know my dad, he's a man of very few words and is very serious. He doesn't really joke. And he said, "Trust me, stupid. I wouldn't tell you to do it if I knew it didn't work." Jesus knows what's best for us, and that is through believing in the truth that we can truly be sanctified. Because we know that the truth was what set Jesus apart from everyone else in the world. He was the living truth. So for me, this was when it was all coming together. I could see that we lived in a world that doesn't really agree with us, and Jesus wants us right here where we are in this society, in this world, with our skills, our talents, in this community. And he knows we'll be tempted by sin, and therefore we need the protection of God and sanctification to be set apart as holy, and he has given us the truth to enable this. And then I had my aha moment. In verse 18, and I'm pretty sure Jesus knew how much joy and excitement journeying through the word would be. In verse 18 it says, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." See, the quote, "in the world, but not of the world," wasn't really doing the passage justice for me. To me, it felt like the end, of the quote, a destination. Be in the world, but not of the world. And that's it. And maybe that's why I was so confused when I heard it for the first time. And if I were to tweak this quote a little bit, it would be sent into the world, but not of the world. Jesus prays here, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." Jesus calls us to continue to do his work just as he was sent by his heavenly Father. This new quote was no longer a destination, the end or the aim. It was the beginning of something. Beginning of a movement. The beginning to his mission. And therefore, beginning to our mission. To bring people back to God. To have a relationship with him. So there I was. And I asked myself, what does this mean to me? Knowing this, what now? And what does this mean to us? Well, for me, I need to pray for my fellow Christians more often, especially those who are living in a place where Christians are being persecuted. What hate we receive here is nothing compared to what others are getting. And I think we really need to pray for their protection. Secondly, I need to recalibrate and think about who has Jesus put in my life right now. The relationships that I have with people in my life, and how can I intercede for them, just as Jesus interceded for us. I need to think about who Jesus would like me to reach as well, and how. What talents and skills do I have, and how can I use it for his mission? God has given me an artistic talent, and I haven't really used it in my life until recently. I've started planning a project that enables me to use my God-given gift to bring like-minded people together and ultimately glorify him. And thirdly, understanding the utmost importance of his word. Taking his word seriously daily, because I know that that's the main way to have a relationship with Jesus. And I have to say, before Oni, he's not here today, but he's introduced me to an app called Mission 119. And I wasn't reading the Bible daily, but now I can happily say that I've been reading scripture daily. I think just over 6 weeks now. Not just reading it, but relying on the Holy Spirit to guide me through the word into my life. So what does this mean to you? Everyone's lives are very different, and I find it so exciting that Jesus has placed us in different places work, family, communities, friends, and future places that we may be. And I hope that you find what Jesus has sent you to do in this world that we live in. I asked Carrie what her thoughts were on this subject, and it was the best response. It was absolutely genius. Just to give you a bit of context, Carrie and I were doing some Asian groceries, and we found this bitter melon that we always wanted to make soup with. We've been excited to try to make this soup with this very specific bitter melon. So if you don't know, bitter melon looks like this, and it usually looks like that. They sell it in the markets. But the one that we were after actually looks like this. And it's darker, and it's much more lumpier. For those of you, the name implies that it's very bitter. So Carrie tells me it's kind of like the bitter melon. You can put it into any soup, but it will always retain its distinct flavor. It is very bitter. It doesn't take the flavor of the soup. And in the same way, she said, I think we should be like the bitter melon. We should be in the soup, but we don't have to take up the flavor of the soup. But when you taste it, you surely know what it is. Sent into the world, but not of the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us your word, the truth. And Lord, we just like to commit this time to pray for our brothers and sisters who are living in a place where believing in you is wrong. And we ask that you protect them, Lord. Lord, we thank you that through the word that we can truly be sanctified, through your truth. And God, we ask that you reveal to us who have you put in our lives that you would like us to reach. And who could we possibly reach? And we pray that you protect us as well from the world, from the sin. We bring all these prayers into your hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.